the garments of praise. Amen. Put on the garments of praise. Does you good. Amen. It edifies you. Let's just bow our heads a minute this evening before we turn to God's word. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks tonight for this opportunity afresh, Lord, to uplift and exalt the great and mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight we say that thy name is all worthy of all praise. We say, Lord God, there's none like unto thee, for there's only you, Lord, that can save, heal, and deliver. Lord, tonight we pray, Lord, that you will touch someone tonight, Lord, that you will heal someone tonight, that you will save someone tonight, that you will deliver someone tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, for all the prayer requests that has gone up tonight, Lord, for all those that have not been heard by ourselves, but Lord, every word is heard from thee. Lord, we say tonight, Lord, answer, Lord, undertake in Jesus' name. Bring about the healing, Lord. Bring about the deliverance in Jesus' name. Let that brother, let that sister feel better even from this time forth in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that you are a healer and you are a deliverer. Now, Lord, I pray, Lord, let me step aside, Lord. Take over this service in Jesus' name. Let thy word go forth. Let all my words mean nothing. But Lord, let your words, Lord, be exalted tonight. Let them go forth into our ears, into our thoughts, and into our mind, Lord. Let us meditate upon your word daily. In Jesus' name we pray for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to Psalms 34. I know Tommy had actually asked me for a title, but as per usual, I had that many different thoughts in my head and different things. I didn't know what I was really going to do or what I was going to say. You know, I had all different ideas. But in this, you really feel that God wants you to say something, or you really feel that I'm leading towards something, then there's no point in doing it. But if you know that you believe that God has spoken to you and give you something, then it's worth speaking about, isn't it? It's worth mentioning. So tonight I would say the title for this sermon is, You're Not Facing the Enemy Alone. You are not facing the enemy alone. So we see here Psalms 34, I want to read one verse. Psalms 34 on verses 7. I'll read one verse and then you may take your seats tonight. The angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him and delivereth them. You may have your seats tonight. And delivereth them. You know, I was thinking about this tonight. Oral Roberts one time preached a great message called Angels That Help. Now, I don't agree with everything Oral Roberts said. Definitely don't. Don't agree with a lot of stuff that he done. But I do agree with the healing ministry. It was of God. You know, before he was even born, his mother, when she was pregnant one night, she'd got a call to go and pray for someone that was sick. And she was actually carrying Oral Roberts. She was pregnant with him. He wasn't born yet. And she was going across these fields and she was finding it tough. And she was trying to get over a fence and she stopped and she prayed and she said, Lord, if you let me get over this fence and go and pray for this sick person, this child I will dedicate unto you. And she dedicated Oral Roberts unto the Lord. And when he was a young man, he departed from the Lord. He didn't want to know nothing about it. He went his own way. and I believe he was a baseballer or something, played some sort of game. It was basketball, maybe it was. But he fell sick with TB, and he was on his deathbed dying. But God come and spoke to him, and God healed him. And that kick-started a healing ministry in him. You know, and he preached this message about angels that help. And he says that when you were born, and I believe it too, from the day that you're born, there's a guardian angel sent for you. You've got your own guardian angel. And that guardian angel sent in, and he said that he had watched and listened to a report of a doctor, and a doctor said that he had seen thousands of births, and he believed, the doctor said, I believe that there's an angel or something present at that birth. You know, that guardian angel sent to you, and he's with you. But you know, you've got a choice to make. And he says it's a great day. When that guardian angel sent to you, it's a great day that he's with you. But you know, when you decide not to follow God, he has to stand back. And that's a sad day. When he stands back and sees you going the wrong road, he can't come intervene in that sense, because you've got your own will. You've got your own mind. And when it comes to the end of the road, you know that says in the Bible that there's rejoicing in heaven among the angels for everyone that's saved. There's rejoicing. There's a great rejoicing. But you know, there's a great mourning. When you have decided that you will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and it comes to the end of the road. You know, there's a lot of people say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there is a God. How could there be a God? Well, how could there not be a God? You know, even all the pagan religions in the world believed in something. They worshiped gods. Didn't Paul say to the man, he said, about them worshipping the gods, they worshipped Jupiter and Saturn and the different things. And was it Mars Hill? He said to them that Yisr did a plaque up to the unknown God. But he told them who he was. He was Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul preached a message to them heathens, and they received it. You know, there has to be a God. You know, people say there is no God. They don't believe in God. But it comes to the end of the road. And when they're on their deathbed, they might not have time anymore to decide whether there is a God or not. If you were taken suddenly, you wouldn't have a chance to make up your mind. But now you have a chance. Tonight, I'm telling you tonight that there is a God. That there is a Savior, and His name's Jesus Christ. And he died on a cross on Calvary for you and for me. And he came to take your place. So you don't have to face the battle alone. You don't have to face the enemy alone. You may feel sometimes like you're on your own. But what does King David said here? He said the angel of the Lord, and that's spelt in capital letters. I love that.
Amen.
He's not just anybody, but he is Almighty God, the Lord. Everywhere in the King James Bible you see where the word Lord is spelt in capital letters, that's speaking of that Almighty God, the Lord. There's other places maybe it talks about Lord, it's maybe talking about someone in a high position. But when it spells it in capital letters, that is the Lord of Lords. And David says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That's the key, isn't it? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them.
Amen.
But you know, if you say tonight, you know, there's people fear everything, but they say they don't fear God. They say, I'm not afraid of this and I'm not afraid of that. And then there's this world that's full of fear. But the fear of man bringeth a snare and bringeth death and destruction. But the fear of God, like I said before, the fear of God, it's not like a fear that's going to do you harm. There's a fear where you could feel froze to the spot. Terrified and afraid. But the fear of God is a reverence. The fear of God will make you reverence and recognize Jesus Christ. That's the kind of fear it is. Everywhere we see in the Bible that an angel appears, what's the first thing they say? Fear not. Fear not. You know, when they say, fear not, for I am sent from standing in the presence of God and come to give you a message. Not to be afraid. Isn't that what the angel's message is? When the angel came to them shepherds that night and not fail. And he come down and they were afraid and he said, fear not, for I come to bring you good tidings of joy. For in this city this day is born the King of Kings. At Jesus' birth, the shepherds were notified by an angel. Angels, you're not having to face the battle alone. You know, we see over here in Kings, 1 Kings, read about Elijah. We see how Elijah was in a position here. It's like, you know, you can have the mountaintop experience, and then all of a sudden you might feel like you've been kicked in the teeth, as it was, that you've been put down, and you think that you're the only one going through this. You think that you're the only one that has ever faced this problem before. Nobody in the world has ever faced this, only me. That's what the enemy wants you to think. But you know, the wisest man that ever lived said, there's no new thing under the sun. Whatever has happened has happened. No, whatever has happened now has happened before. But God's in control. God's in control. Elijah here in 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Maybe verses 9 and verses 10. We see here this Elijah. He's feeling alone. And he's thinking he's the only one left. And he run here from Jezebel. And Jezebel said, on back in it, he said that, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. This is after Elijah had killed these false prophets, put them to the sword. You know, God anointed him at that point, but then he thought to himself, he was finished. And he thought to himself, I'm the only one that really believes this. That's what the devil wants you to believe. The devil wants you to believe that you're a head case. He'll not tell you you're a head case if you're lying on the street like a drunken scut. Or if you're out smoking and drinking and riding about and spending all your money in the pub and having nothing to show for it. You'll not be a head case when you're doing that. You're having a good time then. You're a good fella then. But if you believe God, you're a head case. And every TV program will portray a servant of God as a head bin, a crackpot, or some sort of a funny character. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But I want you to know that you're a child of God tonight. And that you're not facing the enemy alone. You know, Elijah here, as I say, verses, now, chapter 19, 1 Kings 19, verses 19. Verses 19, he said, so he departed thence and found Elijah. Sorry, I'm in the wrong department. I was reading verse 19. That's the way I work all the time. Verses 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know, it's not a great statement. Did you ever have the Lord speak to you and say to you, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Did you ever feel like all hope was gone and all was lost? But God says to you, what are you worried about? What are you doing? Be of good cheer. What about when Paul was shipwrecked with them men in that ship and they come out, or there's a great storm and he come out and he said, be of good cheer. For this day the angel of the Lord, of whose servant I am, has stood by me and told me that there'd be nobody on this ship lost. What about that for a message? He says, and he came hither unto a cave. This is after he had run here from Jezebel in fear. He says, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets. with a sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You see, felt like I'm the only one that really cares anymore. I'm the only one that believes that God can do these things. That's what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to think that you're a head case if you believe that God sent a prophet in the 20th century. People actually believe. People are actually online. If you Googled something like that, you will get the biggest load of rubbish from some dried out stick that has more no faith or believes nothing. But he'll try to convince you that a prophet of God was wrong and that God didn't send the spirit of Elijah again in the 20th century. But God did. God sent the spirit of Elijah in the 20th century. Not that we worship the messenger, but we will praise God for the message that the messenger brought. Because it's from God and it's found in the word of God. And anywhere it's not found in the word of God, let that alone. If you don't believe that, that's fine. But if it's in the word of God, it's 100% the truth. You can't take that away from it. Amen. But Elijah here, he was in this position and he said unto them, go forth and stand upon the mountain. God commands him. He said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great storm wind rent the mountain. And we know it goes on down. And there was an earthquake and there's different things. But then there was a still, small voice. Do you know, a lot of us boys are noisemakers, aren't we? But you know, when you get excited, you make noise. But just because you make noise maybe doesn't mean a whole lot, you know, either. You don't have to make a lot of noise. You know, T.L. Osborne said he went to Brother Branham's meeting. And they brought a little girl up and the wee girl was blind. And he was sitting there and he says he'd lead me to help him with this case. He said he was a noise-making Pentecostal, T.L. Osborne. And he says he'll need help with this one. And he said he was getting raved up, ready to tick off. But he says he brought the child up. And he said he just prayed a quiet prayer. And when he turned the child around, the child could see. He says he couldn't believe it. Because he says, if they come across a case where there's a demon or anything, the more noise they made, the thought they could chase it away. But it doesn't matter about that. Be yourself. Maybe you're a quiet person, maybe you're a loud person. God is, everybody's different mentalities. Everybody's a different style of doing things. But the key thing about it is, God's the one that does it. It's not me or you that does it. It wasn't that man, it wasn't T.L. Osborne, it wasn't Earl Roberts, it wasn't William Branham. It was none of these men, but it was God. But these men believed God. And if you believe God, it's possible. To do anything that seems impossible is possible with God. The things that seem impossible with men are possible with God. We read on down here then in verses 18, and God answers him. He says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him. Elijah thought here, I am the only one that believes this. Do you know why the devil wants you to believe that message? People are like sheep, in a sense. If you can get them separated out, they don't know what road they're on. Their heads sort of don't know, can't figure the thing out. But they think that there's safety in numbers. If you say to somebody about something that God has done, and you mention, say even if you mention our church or something, oh, many people goes there. What's the first question? Many people goes to your wee assembly. Does it matter? If there was three come through the door, God's there. Where two or three are in the midst, where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. Amen. Wherever you are, he is. Because he says, I will not leave you nor forsake you, though I am with you always. Yes. So does it matter? But you see, like I say, the old sheep, you see, if you divide it one out, she doesn't know what to do herself, her head near goes. But she feels if she's in the flock, if she can get among the other sheep, they feel safe and secure. And people think, well, there's a big crowd, that's the place to be. Doesn't matter about the big crowd. There can be big crowds. You know them meetings and different things? Yes, there's been many a cases where there's been big crowds and God moves. But there's also been many a case where two or three people met, and because of that, there was a big movement come after it. Because two or three people decided to seek God. You know, the day I was reading, I'm sure you remember, my dad mentioned the case about the angel of Mons. There's two different accounts. There was one of the angel of Mons, and there's one about the white Calvary that come and saved the British army. But you know, I was reading a bit about that today, and in that account, it says that England called for a day of prayer, and America called for a day of prayer. Well, wouldn't see that today, would you? That would be called silly. That would be called nonsense. Or that wouldn't, it would seem like a head case if some man said that. Like way back was at the time of the foot mouth when Ian Paisley stood up and said he was going to call for a national day of prayer. And they laughed at it. People don't want to retain God anymore in their knowledge. But you see in this account, one account where it says they were completely outnumbered and outgunned, and then the next thing the Germans run for it, and they actually seen these beings, angels, I believe they were. They come down onto the battlefield, and they fired at them and everything they could put at them, and they couldn't stop them. They kept coming for it, it scared the life out of them, and they run for it. And then in the other account, the British soldier gives his account of it. He was back off, and this was a bare bit of ground in the First World War. I think it was 1918 and in around that time. And the Germans had advanced so far into France, and if they had got through that position, the chances are they could have got took over the whole of France, and then they could have pushed right through into England. But I believe that God stopped that, because England was known as the country of the Reformation too, because that's where the Protestant faith was in England. You know, we can see right where King William even came from Holland and he went to England. Because the way things was going, that the Pope was going to overthrow the Protestant faith, and King William left Holland and went to England, and then he came here. And thank God for it. There's nothing bigotry about it, because only for the Protestant faith we wouldn't have this Bible. We wouldn't have the truth. Yet we still, as the song says, counting papal money and wearing wooden shoes. But thank God, he brought a deliverance. But you see, these men were stationed in this position, and it was open ground, there was nothing, only not even a tree, he says. And he says, the next thing he says, the guns opened up and shelling and shooting and machine gunning, and they said, Fritz has gone mad. He's shooting at nothing. And this man said he made his way down. And he says as he went down, there was a wee lark flew up out of the grass where he was and sung a song. And he says that had stuck on his head. When he was writing the account, he said it was in his head like a song of triumph, he said. But you know, on the German side, it was a different story. On the German side, they said they seen a great cavalry coming on the field. And they were dressed in old type uniforms. And they said, Britain has gone mad. Tommy has gone mad. The Tommies, as they called them. They have went mad. They've fielded a cavalry against machine guns and artillery. And they did do that in one place. In around the Somme, I believe it was the last cavalry charge ever to take place in history. This fielded of soldiers, fielded men on horses, and they charged a position of machine guns. But when they got down close to it, there was barbed wire and the horses got stuck and the machine gunned them. But they were brave men. But these men here, they didn't understand what was going on. But on the German side, they seen this cavalry coming, charging at them. And the German soldier said, they've gone mad, let them come in close so that when we start shooting that there's no men injured or wounded. It'll be an outright kill. But they recognised there was one man out in front wearing like a white robe on a white horse. And he rode out in front of them and led them. But you know, when they come right up to the German line, they kept shooting, nothing happened. Bullets and guns and bombs don't affect the Spirit of God. It's greater than that. You're not in the battle alone. These things don't affect God. An atomic weapon doesn't affect God. Amen. Chemical warfare doesn't affect God. God's above all these things. Amen. He's in control of all these things. If he says that's it, that's it. You know, a prophet of God said that there was demons, more demons released at that time of the First World War than there ever had been. It had to be a demonic force. You know, I believe it was the man Jack Watty who had been released, and my grandmother said to my dad one day, he said he'd seen Germans stack 5 or 6 men high for near 4 miles long, where they released gas and the wind changed direction and blew back and killed them. But that was demonic, wasn't it? And horses and people dead everywhere. Death and destruction everywhere that spirit goes. It's a spirit of death and destruction. But these angels, this force rode right up to the Germans. And the Germans at the last threw their guns down and run for it. And when all the guns all stopped, they actually had surrendered to a handful of British troops who had nearly run out of ammunition. But God fought for them. Why did God fight for them? I believe because they called for that day of prayer. That's when Britain was still Great Britain. You see, they still had a bit of faith in them, didn't they? You know, I was down one time at one of the museums and it was talking about the communion. I just thought it was an interesting fact. You know, the Presbyterians one time were real believers too, weren't they? I'm not saying they're not believers anymore, but we know that they don't want to believe the whole Bible. It's like the woman one time went to the boys' meeting, and every time he said, this doesn't happen anymore, she cut the wee bit out of the Bible. Healing didn't happen anymore. She cut that out. God doesn't do this, cut that wee bit out. And when your man was returned, she said, I have a great gift for you. He said, what's that? And he says, that's a bit tattered looking, that Bible. She said, it's a Bible. He said, it's a bit skinny looking. She says, that's the Bible for you. Every time that you said God didn't do something, she says, I just cut it out. There's not much point having it, is there? So there's a Bible that'll suit you well. You don't believe God heals anymore. You don't believe God does these things anymore. But the point I was going to say, I was down on the history, it said that when they took wine out of the communion, and they switched to Ribena or something else, and Linda was with me, he says, you know, if you probably looked at the history, I would nearly guarantee that that's when the Spirit of God departed from them too. When they took away the wine, they took on a load of Ribena instead. You see, that the wine represents that, doesn't it? You know, they maybe think, why, if some alcoholic come in and got a taste of that, it would put his head astray. If you're born again, you're born again. That's what it means. Born again. It doesn't mean half born again or partly delivered. Totally healed, saved, and delivered. Yes. When God does a work in you, he doesn't do it by half. He does it complete. He does a complete work. You know, if you look at these different events that take place in the world and different events, you can see how that things changed. We look on over here now in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15, we'll maybe read down to verses 17, and we see here, this is Elisha. And again we see, when God, all through the Bible we see how God supernaturally done something. Like Gary mentioned, I believe, one of the last times he was speaking about that there thing about Israel. About the different events that took place, about how that the men were coming up to a field full of mines. And the next thing, there was a great wind come up and blew all the dust off the mines so that they could walk through it. And different events that took place. And then, you know, there's all events in war where there was a man come up to a place and a man met him. And he led him through the place. And then he disappeared. He didn't see him anymore. And when he told him, he says, that was a man, that the name of that man, he was killed in battle. But God allowed that man to direct that other man, that God would preserve his life. You know, that man that I mentioned would have been a relation of my grandmother's, about he had that dream that time. You remember my dad mentioning it? Jack Watt, when he came home from on leave, he had a dream when he was at home. And he dreamt that he was back in France and that shelling broke out and that he was separated from the troops. And he got on a big mule and he tried to ride and the mule fell into a shell hole. And he struggled to get out of it and he got out of the hole and he rode up onto this place where there was no shooting or nothing and he got up onto like a laneway and he met a woman coming and he stopped and he said to her, did you see what road the British troops went? And she said, over that hill. This was all in the dream and he rode over the hill in the dream and he rode down in and the Germans captured him down in a forest type place. So he went back to France. This was when he was at home on leave. And we went back to France. Everything happened as he dreamt. The shelling took place, the shooting took place. He got on the mule. He talked about, mind my dad was saying, he talked about the mule's nearly 17 hands, and everybody said he was talking nonsense. But then a lot of years back, there was a woman at Balmoral Show at donkeys that was 16 hands. So they probably bred them mules out of them big donkeys too, to breed you a big strong mule. But anyway, he got on the mule and he wrestled to get out of the shell hole. But he got out of it and he went up and he seen the woman, everything like he seen the dream, and she said over that hill. But he rode to the top of the hill and he remembered the dream and he stopped. And he looked and he said he could see like flashes or something in the sunlight. And the next thing was a whole volley of shots. It was the Germans was all down and he could see like the flashes of the guns in the sunlight. And he didn't ride down the hill and he said to him he believed that God saved his life. He said to him on another occasion, he said, could you take your shirt off your back when it was raining and go across the yard without getting hit with a spit of rain? He couldn't do it. He says, well, that's the way the bullets were. It was God's grace. God preserved his life for a purpose. There was a purpose behind it. Events took place. The angels is in control. Sometimes God sends in angels to take care of different circumstances. But the enemy wants you to believe that you're standing on your own. But you're not. God's going to fight the battle for you. God's taking control for you. God's standing in your stead. He's got men. He's got somebody in the position for you. 2 Kings in chapter 6, verses 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses, chariots. His servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. Amen. Why isn't it wonderful when you hear that? Fear not. What is the message today? Fear everything. What was the whole message for the last 2 or 3 years? Fear COVID. Fear this. Fear that. There's so many dying of this and they're dying of that and dying of something else. Well, that's the way it is. But if you've got faith in God, even if this old flesh does die, you don't die. Because it says you've got eternal life in you. Amen. And eternal life is the eternal kind. And it doesn't die. Amen. There's no death in eternal life. Amen. He says, and he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elias prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. Isn't that what King David said? The angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. And there we see again, you know, didn't we see it too when Moses brought the people up out of Egypt? Well, God brought them up out. Moses was the man leading them, but God was behind it, wasn't he? God was the one that done it, really. Moses was just a tool in God's hand. Moses was the man that God used. You see, that's sometimes that's the way it, you know, if God uses a man, the next thing, that's the phrase, just what I say. It's easy to say that, isn't it? The next thing, the phrase is, the man done it. We see that all around the world, don't we? When God does something, then it's the man that gets the praise, not God. But God's the one that's doing it. But he's using that man. We know that how God used Moses. He used him as a tool in his hand. And how he brought about many mighty miracles and deliverance. But you know, the people forgot about it. Is that not this day and age? How quickly would people forget about what God has done and what God is doing? People don't want to believe what God has done or what he's doing. They don't want to hear of it. But God's in control tonight. You know, it's in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, on verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. The Lord is my helper. Like King David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's your helper. You're not facing the battle alone. You're not on your own. You know, there's a football club in there say, you'll never walk alone. But you could when you're with him. But you know, when you believe in God, you won't ever walk alone. Because God is with you. When you accept him, you know, like Oral Roberts said, he said, when you don't accept God, that guardian angel has to stay way back. He can't really be in communion with you anymore. He can't really walk with you anymore. But when you accept God, when you accept Jesus Christ, he can come closer to you again. Amen. I have no watch tonight, so I don't know what time it is, but I'm not going to go on much longer. I want a couple more scriptures here I've wrote down. I probably wrote down far too many scriptures, but I hope that God will bless you with them as he blessed me with them when I read them. Amen. You know, we also see on the cross, I've wrote down a phrase here, he was forsaken for you. He was forsaken for you, that you would never have to be forsaken. He was forsaken. Who? Jesus Christ. In Matthew 27, it says, in verses 45 and 46, I'm not going to turn it, he cried out. It says there was darkness fell upon the earth about the ninth hour, and it says he cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, Sabbathani. It meant, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken for you, for me. And you know, we also know that it says in Isaiah that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Why? He took your sorrow and grief. I know that sometimes maybe not easy, you know. Sometimes when things happen, you do feel sorrowful. You will feel grief. You will have emotion. But you know, when you sit back and compose yourself and think of what God has done for you, it'll make you glad. It'll help you get over that, won't it? It'll lift you up. I want to read Hebrews chapter 4. I want to come to a close in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. You're not facing the enemy alone tonight. We have a high priest here. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14. We'll read verses 14 down to verses 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Like I said, Isaiah spoke of that, didn't he? We have a high priest that can be touched. He can feel what you felt, because Jesus came as a man, but he was God in man. But he could feel like a man. He slept like a man. He even wept at Lazarus' grave, didn't he, like a man. But when he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. That was God speaking, wasn't it? Do you know, I like that thought. If he hadn't mentioned Lazarus' name, every grave would have had empty. If he had said, all graves, get up and come out, Every one of them graves would have had to come out of them. Because that was the I am speaking. You know, when they come to arrest him, he says, I am he. And they fell backwards to the ground. He was the I am. He is the I am. Fear not. You're not having to face the enemy on your own. You know, I believe you should, with the children done the play, but David was not a great example. You know, if you'd have took the book out and you'd have looked at all the men in the army, you wouldn't have picked David, would you, the shepherd? You would have said Saul is probably the man. It said that Saul was head and shoulders above every man in the army. Saul looked like the ideal candidate to face anything that could come at them. But when he seen the giant, he took fear. He says, I'll not chance it. He had a good cushy position at this point. We'll not take a chance. And then all the men in the army, there's nobody could face this big giant. But David came down. The difference, what did David have? David had an experience. David had an experience because he told of his experience. He said he faced a lion and he faced a bear. You're not just going to wander out and do that. If you'll not just go out on your own and say, drop me out over the wall into a land there. But if you believe God, you could drop down into them and rank them like a kid. Because that would be the power of God. But you know, David had that experience. These other men had experience in warfare. But when they seen the giant, they took fear. They couldn't see beyond that. Natural. But David says, I can take him on. Amen. And he did, because he wasn't facing him alone. He knew that God was with him. You know, like that song that our brother wrote, he said God was right there with him through the crisis, protecting and guiding the stone. Amen. Let's just stand on our feet a moment tonight and we'll close with a word of prayer. Come to a close for a hand over to our pastor tonight. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks tonight for these words that is written in your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can take strength and edification from it, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to face the enemy alone, but we believe, Lord, that you're there with us, Lord, protecting and guiding the stone, as it were, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll keep your hand upon us now, Lord. Lord, anything I've said amiss, I pray, Lord, you'll forgive me. But Lord God, every word of yours, Lord, let it, Lord, sink into our thoughts and into our minds, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen someone tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that someone will be blessed from this few words tonight, in Jesus' name. Lord God, for all those, let us say it again, Lord, at home. Lord, I pray that you'll touch them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Whatever the situation may be, let the still, small voice whisper in their ear and whisper, Lord, something good that will edify them and strengthen them and set them on their feet in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one, and we really enjoyed the word tonight, and God bless those listening in. You know, I was thinking when Samuel was preaching about the voice says, fear not. But there's something about the voice. There's one thing about the voice, and when the voice speaks to you, there's a presence with it. And there's the presence of the voice. And when it's really the voice of God and he speaks to you, there's a presence with a voice. And the presence of God's awesome. There's nothing like the presence of God. The presence of God can change a vile sinner, melt them, change them. The presence of God can do that. There's presence. There's just something about the presence of God. And we really need the presence of God. We want the presence of God. In our own lives, in our homes, we want the presence of God with us. And you know, whenever, if you're driving in your car or out and you start to communicate with God, an And I'm sure many here could testify, sometimes the presence of God comes to you. And there's no substitute for the presence of God. There's the voice, and there's the presence. And His presence is wonderful. Maybe somebody's watching tonight, and God can speak to you, and maybe God has spoke to you. And maybe you're thinking there's no hope in a difficult situation. But God's presence can change it all. And you know, I know I often refer to myself because the situation I was in. Well, when I look back on it, it was God's grace in jail, suicidal. And I heard a voice. But there was a presence with a voice. And it's so true what Brother Samuel said about the angel of the Lord. That every one of us have an angel. And you know, God's angels has rescued many of us. More times than we'll ever know. He's rescued us. He's saved us. And He encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Thank God for the fear of God. That's the thing we're to fear. God. And may the Lord help us to fear and praise God. God bless you. Don't forget our Thursday night prayer and Bible study. And then next Sunday morning, maybe we'll have a communion service. Next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, come along. And the Lord bless each one. And the Lord bless the day. We had a wonderful service this morning with Brother Laurie. And I've enjoyed the message tonight. And keep on keeping on. Amen. A brother's going to come and sing a few songs before we go. And the Lord bless each one. God bless you all.
Let's sing that hymn, When the Redeemed Are Gathering. Ah.